Let's pray. We praise you, mighty God, Savior, Redeemer, Creator, everything. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, the Holy Spirit would sweep through and among us, and you would have our full attention. How we praise you, how we love you. Thank you for the joy of serving you, the amazing stewardship that you've given us to live for Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and stand up against the darkness and one day be before your throne and to hear your voice of approval. How we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The evil empire of all evil empires. Of all the evil kings, dictators, and oppressive regimes throughout the history of earth that have dominated and afflicted the people under their rule, it seems that the reign of the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet during the period of the tribulation will be the worst by far. The evil empire of all evil empires. The picture of this evil empire could be perceived as one of a well-oiled machine, marching on with common goals and an inspired purpose, single-mindedly forging its way to world dominance, discarding lesser foes left and right, moving along with a strong, measured tread toward ultimate victory and accomplishment. Powerful, devastating, defiant, and seemingly unstoppable. And I can see that. I can see how a person could very, very easily draw that picture in his or her mind as he or she studied the events described in Revelation during the last days of earth. But that person would have the wrong picture, an incorrect understanding of what was happening. And there is probably no better example of that than what we will observe in the account of the destruction of Babylon in our text today. The religious and political leaders who brought Babylon to prominence did so by making a deal with the devil, literally. They forged an unholy alliance with the unholy Trinity because they thought that this would advance their agenda, that they would get what they wanted. But that's not how it works when you make a deal with the devil. Didn't they know who they were dealing with? Did they not know that the devil is a liar, the father of lies, and there is no truth in him? And how could they not know? How could these powerful, seasoned world leaders expect anything but disaster when making a deal with a liar and a deceiver? How could they be so foolish? It's really very simple and straightforward, involving a fundamental dynamic or principle in the transmission and reception of truth. A biblical principle that most people never grasp. If you refuse the truth, then you will believe the lie. If you refuse the truth, then you will believe the lie. As you turn away from the truth, you prepare your heart for the lie. You are now deceived. You will still call it the truth, but that is only because you are a blind person walking in darkness. The Apostle Paul describes it this way to the Thessalonians. This man, the Antichrist, will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love truth and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived. And they will believe these lies, then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. The religious and political leaders of Babylon made a deal with the devil. that would bring them almost instant success. Babylon would become the crown jewel of the New World system in less than 7 years, enjoying unrivaled religious, political, and commercial prosperity. They got what they wanted until. Until they were no longer useful to the devil. And that is where, until they were no longer useful to the devil. Imagine that. Imagine that. The devil lied to you. He deceived you. Should they have been surprised? Oh, we made a deal with the devil and he deceived us. It's what he does. Christ said he's a liar, the father of lies. There's no truth in him. This is what happens when you make a deal with the devil. He will dangle the carrot. He dangled the carrot to them of commercial and governmental and religious prosperity. And they had it. They got what they wanted. Very momentarily, until they were no longer of any use to him. They are now a threat. So he destroys them as they no longer fit his plans. And that is where we are in this morning's text. The alliance has fallen apart, and anarchy threatens the existence of the New World system. The devil's desperation grows as his hope to be worshipped as the god of this world is slipping away, and he lashes out with a vengeance. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. An overview, and basically I'm going to be sharing from this inside, if you got the world with the red hand, and we're going to just do an overview of this. But let me read down through these and give us a picture. We're not going to go into all the details, not that they're not worthy of that, but the overview is extremely helpful. If you're like me, see, I should write a brief study on all of the things that I didn't really understand about Revelation since I've been preaching through it. But see, we get this idea that, you know, that Satan's dominant, and it is, and it's horrible, and it's every horrible thing that we talk about and we know about. But just picture this. This is a government, the Revelation, the 16, 13 and 14, it's on your sheet. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Now, sometimes it's a struggle even for good people to get along, isn't it? We're not going to name names, though, are we? But it's a struggle. It's a struggle even, how much does Paul write in the New Testament? It's a struggle even for fellow believers in Christ at times to get along. Do we really think that this world system dominated by demons and the egomania that's prevalent, that they're going to get along? Satan is attracting the dragon, the Antichrist, the false prophet. They're attracting these world leaders. They're saying, this is what we're promising, and they're all in on that. And it works for a short time. See, what we can't forget in all of this, and it's a very broad overview, and it's extremely insightful and helpful, is the original sin of Satan. And what was that? I will be like God. Let me just stop, and you got these on your sheet too. The bottom right-hand corner of the Alas Babylon. Said Satan said in his heart, five I wills. I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. See, we can't forget that as we look at this struggle and we looked at over the last several weeks the battle between the God of heaven and earth and the demon gods of this world. We can't miss the fact, this underlying, why is Satan doing all of this? Because he wants to be God. And we looked at a week or 2 weeks ago, the foolishness, the created being trying to usurp the throne of God. But Satan, in this sense, is no different than any of us. When we follow the darkness, our minds are contaminated with the darkness, the sinfulness. He is foolish. He is blind. He's a supernatural being. He knows the ways of this world. He's got a master plan. But is it going to work? Let's not forget the big picture. The fake God is going up against the real God. So you have the fake God rallying his troops. You've got government leaders who are demon-possessed. How's that going to work for them? They're going to get along, right? There's not going to be any pride or ego involved, right? Wrong? So what happens here in these two chapters? It seems like everything's moving along. Well, we're going to get what we wanted. We're tired of this God of heaven. We've got somebody who'll fight for us. We're going to accomplish our goals, and it all falls apart. Whether I can't give all the details. I don't know those. No one does. But it starts just disintegrating, anarchy. He sees it as a threat. Again, Satan's goal. He is going to be worshipped. You have this religious system that's gaining more and more popularity. He can't have that. They've got to make sure they worship him and him alone. He wants to, what did he try to get Christ to do in Matthew 4? What was one of the temptations? I'll give you all this if you'll do what? Bow down and worship me. We can't forget what's underlying these things. But it is all coming down, and it is falling down in a hurry. The crown jewel, Babylon, is destroyed in these. And it's God's judgment. God is pouring out plagues. There's hailstone from heaven. But much of it is the inner turmoil of darkness fighting against darkness. And that's one thing that hasn't really clicked in my... We picture, you know, the forces of Satan, the forces of darkness all rallying together. Not if you think about it. It doesn't make sense. It's hard enough for good people to get along, let alone when you're bent on evil. So it should not surprise us. We have 10 kings, and you'll see in the text that they were given authority. Did anybody read this? For 1 hour, it says. And what that means is briefly. So, well, what happened there? Well, I'm going to get my puppet demon rulers one way or the other. So you have these world leaders, if they're not supportive of the Antichrist, if they're not supportive of Satan, well, I'll just send you out, I'll bring in some more who will follow my commands to the T. And that's what happened when we see these rulers. We see this not as some, let me see how I can say this. I started to say we see this not as some powerful machinery, because it is powerful machinery going forward, this world system, this world government of Satan. But it is terribly, terribly flawed. It's like a computer system that has a devastating worm that's going to take it down. The devastating worm is the sinfulness of mankind. You take the sinfulness of mankind, you add it to the devil is your leader. Maybe we should say that again. We add it to the devil is your leader. Are things going to turn out well? No, thank you. It's bad news for the other side, for the forces of evil. It's preposterous. And we can think sometimes with our world and all this, and it just seems everything so overwhelming. That's what the deceiver, how he wants you to feel. But there's one God, and none like him. And there is no other. some created being who Satan is. He's I'm no match for him. You're no match for him. I wouldn't be so foolish to challenge him or to mock him. But I can stand in confidence in speaking this truth about him. He is a created being. He is no match for our God and Savior. Let me go through some of these items here. I'm not going to keep you here forever, so relax a little bit with that. The great prostitute. Well, this is the city. This is also the system. The system, the city, a literal city. There's people that believe that there's a new Babylon constructed on the side of the old Babylon. There are people that believe it's Rome. It's New York City. I was just had a Joel Richardson mentioned to me. I listened to part of his video. He believes it's the Saudis are preparing all this, and it's going to be Mecca. We don't know those things. We can do research and all that, but we don't know those things. And the reason why we don't know it for sure is because it's not in this book that specific. So we only take that so far. But there is a city that represents the system. We have demon-possessed government leaders. Let me just at least read part of this text, chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers of earth, on earth have become drunk." And what this is speaking, then, it leads into, and chapter 17 and 18, rather, they speak of the harlot. They speak of the sexual immorality. Some believe that's only speaking of, like, religious immorality, but I believe it speaks of both, and I think we can see that in our world. It is the religious combining of all the different faiths, but it's more than that. It's the wide road that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7. But it's also more than that, that I believe actually sex, and we see sex sells, and we see it all over the place. And we see that too as part of the temptation, part of the lure, part of the carrot dangled out there. But we have demon-possessed government leaders. We have demon-possessed puppet kings in verses 13 and 14. And these are of one mind. Let me go back, verse 12. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings. They're to receive this for 1 hour. Again, all these folks aren't getting along. If you aren't going to do the job, you're out. I'll get somebody else. It's like a temp service for these kings. And that's what it is. As kings for 1 hour together with the beast, these are of one mind. And what do? They hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb. That's not going to turn out very well for them either. Great prostitute is conspired against. The 10 world leaders will also, this is number 4 on here, will join with the beast to destroy the prostitute, Babylon. Babylon's fall is detailed in the first few verses of chapter 18. And I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Wealthy, wealthy system, city. And the system. And again, if you think about this, all happened. It gained world dominance every way, in the government, in the economy, in religion, false religion, mind you, but in religion, in less than 7 years. That is astounding. How could that happen? Well, you have Satan pouring all of his resources, every demon available, and then he appeals, he holds out the carrot. "I'll give you everything. I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth." He pulls the rugs out from under these world leaders later. But he offers that. Babylon's fall is detailed. The people of God are warned in verses 4 through 8. He said, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins.' We always have to remember there are still God's people on this earth. God's people who missed the rapture. They weren't believers at the time when Christ came, as Thessalonians tells us, to catch the believers up in the air. But they did come to believe at some point. Many, probably most of them, lost their lives. But there are some that will remain, a great multitude actually, and they will populate the millennial kingdom. It's these that are being spoken to here. To come out, move away from that city, whatever that city is, move away from that system, because it's going down. What you have then, you have in number 7 on this overview, the world leaders mourn. Because this would be like your whole economy is tied to this city. And it says in a day, and it says in an hour. And what it means is suddenly and decisively, it is obliterated. We were grieved at the loss of the Twin Towers, weren't we? Would you agree if I said that that was devastating to our psyche as a nation? I think we would be in agreement. What if the entire New York City was gone? Or Washington, D.C., what if it was nuked, it was gone? Well, take this and up that. This is the pinnacle, the city of the world now. Everything's riding on it. Religious harmony, the economy, religious harmony, again, false religion. The titans of industry, as we call them. And so now it's devastated, and you have these freighters out in the ocean. Where are they going to bring their cargo? They're mourning. You read these verses. The titans of industry mourn. Let's go to verse 17 of chapter 18. Let's go to verse 16. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls, for in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste. And the ship and all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all whose trade is on the sea, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. The earth mourns, but heaven rejoices. But let's go, just before we go to heaven rejoicing, let's go back to earth mourning. And so here they are, just picture, here you have it. There are all these freighters, all these shipments, they're on the way to the city, to the gem of the world system, and they're getting their reports, it's gone. Now, what do you mean it's gone? Well, it's gone, as in gone. It's devastated. Well, where are we going to bring our cargo? I don't know. Where are we going to fuel? I don't know. It's gone. There's turmoil. There's mourning. It's anarchy. Satan doesn't have it together. It was bound to fall apart, wasn't it? The egos, the pride, the darkness, the lies. It was bound to fall apart. That's why then we, verse 20, rejoice over her heaven, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. That's the picture. Because the fake God is no match for the real God. The created one is no match for the creator. And he's, I'll take it and I can throw it like a millstone and it's done. And it was devastated. Satan has to be beside himself at this point. You wouldn't, if you've seen any of these shows, and you've got the guy that's the bloodthirsty guy, and he's maybe not completely all there either, but he's kind of contained. But then the more and more his plan falls apart, no one wants to be around him, do they? Well, you don't want to be around the devil at this time, because his dream to be God is going up in the smoke of Babylon. His dream is shattered And he is going to do what only thing he knows what to do is to hate and vengeance and lies. But heaven rejoices. It's just another step of God's exercising his sovereign rule over the affairs of this earth and bringing about history to its destination that he has planned, and then ushering in the great battles that we'll be talking about in Armageddon and then the battle at the end of the 1,000 years, but bringing in his kingdom. Let me show just one more thing in looking at how disheartening, discouraging. Let me ask you this. Is anyone here planning on going to a graduation ceremony this summer? Okay, I see some heads nod. They won't be. Anybody got a wedding that's planned this summer? You're planning on it? No, they won't be. Let me read these last few verses. 22 says, well, let me start at the last part of verse 21. So Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. No music. No music, no fine arts, no museums to visit, no New York Symphony. If you walked in there after the devastation, no radio coming on, no music, and a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. The manufacturing, you won't see it. You won't see the guy running the backhoe. You won't see the new high-rise going up. You won't see John and Mary out here building their new home. None of it. Gone. Devastated. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. Manufacturing, food production, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. For them, they would have understood no oil in the lamp, no lamps burning. For us, what we see this would be now is what? No electricity. Go ahead and flip the switch. Nothing's coming on. Won't be able to charge your phone. Devastation. See how personal it gets? And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth. You see how God's going all the way. This is comprehensive judgment. He's going all the way back. He's bringing his judgment, but now we'll see it in full force. He goes all the way back to the very first murder when Cain rose up in the field and murdered Abel. And he says, I'm holding the rebels of earth. He said, I'm holding all of you who stayed outside of my gracious offer of salvation. I'm holding you for all the blood that has been shed on this earth. So what we want to make sure today, that our trust is in the real God, don't we? I'm going to step out on the edge a little bit here. I talked to Velma some about this. I didn't tell her I was going to talk about her in morning worship, though. But I told her, I asked permission on the sending out on the prayer request. I said, well, is this okay? And she said, yeah. I said, well, I figured it would be. And I said, I didn't think if it wasn't, I didn't think you'd stay mad at me very long. But I had a really good talk with her. I said, Velma, you feel you're in the right place before the Lord? Are you secure in your relationship in Jesus Christ? And it's all, check the box, yes, 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 she's ready. She said, God's timing. The only reason she considered the dialysis was for her family. She said she didn't want to disappoint Bill. I hope I'm not getting too personal here, but it's what I'm saying is here you have someone who knows there's something coming better, not wishful thinking, not this that we hear in the funeral home, oh, they're going to a better place and people don't have a clue. It's just wishful thinking. They're scared to death because they hope they go to a better place too, but they haven't trusted in Christ, and where they're going is not a better place. She has faith in Jesus Christ, in a God who will say, when it's your time. And that's what she said, when it's his time. She has her faith in a God. That's how great her God is. Is that how great your God is? Because folks, people cling to their religion. And I know I refer a bit to the wide road in Matthew 7, but I think it's going to be more and more relevant in our age. Come here, follow this. We can tweak this. We can believe part of the Bible. We can believe part of what God says. You're going to be okay. And thousands will be attracted. And thousands will die from those churches, from those liberal denominations, clinging to their faith. You know, I had a thought. It's you know, we have the those of us that the guns and that says you'll I'll give up my gun when you pry it from my cold dead hands. Probably haven't heard that before, have you? Yeah, bumper stickers, all that. Well, here's what some do. Even hearing God's truth, they're going to cling to their religion. You're not going to tell me. Well, I'm not telling you. Read your Bible. It's really clear. There might be some things in the Bible that are complicated. It's really clear. You need to confess your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe in Him and receive the gift of eternal life. There's not another way. There's not another way. But some have this: I'll give up my religion when you can pry it from my cold dead hands. Don't go to your grave clinging to your religion. I talked to Velma too. I said this, that it's a very joyful, powerful, insightful thought. Psalm 23. We talked about that. The Lord's her shepherd because she knows Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. From the moment we trust in Him, that first step through the narrow gate. Don't cling to your religion. Embrace the offer of salvation that God brings to us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word of truth. Mighty God, majesty, holy, awesome, fearsome, the Creator. How we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.